First John is, to me, is an exciting book. And the more I think about First John, the more relevant it seems to me to be in our society. Today we have so many people saying that what you really believe doesn't matter. And what you think is what you want to think. And it's up to you and your own ideas of what. And it seems to me that the world has kind of gone offline lately, don't you think? As long as you're sincere about it. Yes, Roger.
Well, it does matter.
And you just look at the things that are going on, and you will see a verse in a minute where good is bad and bad is good. And 1 John's got a message, and if you've forgotten the purpose of the book is this. John wants you to have fellowship with God, but you can't have fellowship with God. You can't have a close relationship with Him unless you think and act right. And that includes believing the right things about Him. And when you begin to believe the wrong things about Him, which we'll look at this morning, you can get offline and actually get into darkness, and has a profound impact. When you say the word doctrine or theology, people's eyes cross. I've actually heard people say, I really don't want to study the Bible, I just want to get together and share our common problems. Well, the answer to those common problems is found in the Word of God. And a sharing of ignorance is often not a good way to increase in your relationship with God. So you know me, I believe in the Word of God. And I believe the Word of God makes a difference in your life. If you'll just stick with us and hang in there and think about what we're doing, and so forth. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. God is light. What a staggering thought. This is the message which we've heard from Him, from God, from Jesus Christ, and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, you may not realize that because most of you in here are believers. That is a staggering statement. That statement is made to counteract something that we'll see in a minute. In other words, as I told you in 1 John, just about everything John says is to counteract somebody's false teaching. And this is in the same way. And when he says that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all, that is a profound thought. Now, Zane Hodges wrote this. The apostle begins with a declaration about the character of God. God is light. This simple yet profound message about God is crucial to all fellowship between himself and his creatures. To begin with, God is free from every moral defect. His light is unsullied by any degree of moral impurity whatsoever, and in him is no darkness at all. God is truth. God is light. And you can count on him for his light and his truth. Now, it's interesting, but the book is basically going to tell you what this light communicates to you. In other words, the light of God is the truth of God. And it is the ability, we'll see in a minute, what light does. John Barnes says this, John here says that God is light. The Greek word is phos, P-H-O-S. Not the light or a light, but light itself. It's interesting. In the book of Revelation, when we get to eternity, it says there will not be a sun. Did you know that? You know, they talk about global warming these days, right? And they talk about getting hotter. Well, I got news for them. It's going to get really hot. And it might not be 12 years old off, as one politician says. It could be less than 7. All right? And so the reality is that the sun itself in Revelation, it says there is no sun, a need of the sun, because the Lamb is the light thereof. And literally, he said, I am the light of the world, and he will truly light the universe. Now, he is perfectly pure without any admixture of sin. He has all knowledge with no admixture of ignorance on any subject. He is infinitely happy with nothing to make him miserable. He is infinitely true, never stating or countenancing error. He is blessed in all his ways, never knowing the darkness of disappointment and adversity. God is light. So, Why would John say this? I want you to think a minute. I want you to think that you're living back in 65 AD when this book was written. And John is writing to counter this, and he makes this staggering statement about God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Why would he have to say that to the people that lived back in Rome in 65 AD? Huh? Why? I wanted the answer, not a why. Zeus. Now, if you live back then, the Romans had their gods. The counterpart to Zeus, I picked on Zeus, but he's an unusual fellow, but his counterpart in Rome is Jupiter, right? Chief of all gods. And if you live back then, they worshiped all these gods, didn't they? Prometheus and just all types of them. Apollo. I can't even remember. I saw like 300 or 400 names listed in Wikipedia about gods. But why would we say about Zeus? What can we say about Zeus that Zeus is all light and there's no darkness in him? Who knows? Huh? He wasn't even close, was he? That's right. Here, rape, murder, torture. Why Zeus is the most messed up god in mythology. This is written by a lady named Shahana Yasmin. It is an absolute mystery why the ancient Greeks worshiped the gods they did, because these gods did some of the most problematic and messed up things ever. Rape, murder, instigating wars, cheating on their spouses. In one case, Zeus had this god, I think it was Prometheus, who he condemned to an eternity of a bird eating his liver. Must have been a big liver, but anyway, because he was angry at him. And these are all actual things the Greek gods have been guilty of doing. Now, if all the gods are like that, you would expect that the most powerful of them would be the one punishing them for their transgressions, right? Wrong. The most powerful was Zeus, the god of the sky. Does anybody know what Zeus is famous for if he got upset? A lightning bolt, absolutely. He would throw a lightning bolt at the earth. And the number of absolute terrible things he has done will make you wonder what the Greeks were thinking worshiping this god. So John says, God is light. What's he doing? He's saying the God that we worship is what? Pure, holy, righteous, no immorality. Why is Zeus such a psychopath, sociopath? You know what a psychopath or a sociopath is? Somebody does something to get their own way. Often they're narcissistic, and they don't care about who they hurt. They have no guilt. It's just what do they want. And this person who was Thomas Pearson says, because of the social circumstances that brought them about, the Greek gods are flawed, tragic figures, and Zeus is the most flawed and most tragic because to the simplistic origins that created him. That linear explanation of the power structure was the easiest to grasp and made the most sense. These gods that they worshiped back then were gods that were that made you fearful. Gods that you wanted to please. These gods had no love. They had no guidance. They had no grace and so forth. These were gods that they worshiped. For example, today we have gods like that, don't we? Allah. Is Allah a god of grace and love and kindness? What is he? God of death, a god of punishment, a god of anger, a god to be appeased. You see, one of the big things, if you listen to some of these videos that Lisa and I listen to on One for Israel, that these people talk about, particularly out of the Muslim faith, is they couldn't believe this God of love. And somebody that they didn't have to follow all these rules and never really know if they were going to go to heaven or not. And in fact, they don't even have a well-defined heaven. And we have in our Christian thoughts and our God who is light, who said an absolute criteria, said, if you believe in me, I'll give you eternal life, which we studied last week. And that our God is a God of grace. Aren't you pleased about that? Because what is grace? Unmerited favor, which means simply this. You didn't do anything to deserve it. Isn't that amazing? And as a God of mercy, he's a God that doesn't give us what we deserve. And a God of forgiveness, completely different from these gods. And John comes out of the box and he says, look, I'm going to teach you the rest of this book, five chapters, I'm going to teach you that God is light and what the truth about him, because the understanding that I have of this book is this: you cannot walk in fellowship with God without knowing and understanding him correctly and ordering your life according to him correctly. Does it make sense? What does light do? Well, it illuminates so you can see. In other words, there's several definitions of light and darkness. It shows every imperfection. Every imperfection, doesn't it? Sometimes we don't want to get into a bright light, do we? Because what? You know, when they built these new TVs, these 4Ks and all that, the actresses and actors got kind of upset. Why? You can see every pimple, every blemish, every imperfection, can't you? It reveals the truth. Light shows the truth. And it reveals purity. Every place you see a description of the Lord Jesus Christ or God himself, he's always in bright light. Blinding bright light. It keeps us from error. Keeps us from living right. And it brings understanding so you can know something that was obscure before in the darkness. There's a reality that people don't often think about. The reality is this. If you're a believer in Christ, you have the capacity, the ability, the equipment to understand truth. But if you don't, you may not understand anything. 1 Corinthians 2 says, the natural man comprehends not the things of God, nor is he able. He's not equipped. Comprehends not the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. And if you got to have the right equipment, you need to be able to see the light and understand the light. God is light, and such he had to create darkness. In Isaiah it says, I form the light and create darkness. In other words, if God didn't create the darkness, the whole universe would be light. First Genesis 1 says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. This is a different light. This is the light he created. God saw the light, and it was good, and divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. James tells us that there is no darkness in God. He says this, do not be deceived, my brethren, beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Why is it important that God is light? Why is that important? Wiersbe says, the Father of the heavenly lights, God who created the starry universe, gives salvation and light is unchanging. Shadows from the sun shift, but not the one who made the sun. One of the problems with the Greek and Roman gods is that they were arbitrary. What does that mean? One day they'd do something, the next day they might do something completely different. They were not predictable. There, it's a good word. They were not predictable. And the scripture says that Jesus was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why is that important to us? You can have confidence in what he has said, right? He's not going to come along and say, I'll meet all your needs and provide for you and take care of you, and then down the road say, nah, I decided I don't want to really care about you. Yes, Jim.
Chuck, back up to your lights. Light is also a great disinfectant.
A great what?
Disinfectant.
I had heard of that. That's good. Thank you. Yeah. He said light is a good disinfectant. Jesus is the light according to the scripture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That tells us what? Jesus is what? Jesus is God. It's that simple. If you're Jehovah's Witness, you mistranslate it. But if you translate it correctly, it says that Jesus is eternal, and he is the Word. He is the communication of who and what God is. If you want to know what God is like, study the life of Jesus. You might find some interesting things out. He says things that are almost incomprehensible. Some of us are still trying to figure out what he meant by certain things. He has great compassion. He had the ability to confront his enemies with incredible intelligence and wisdom and knowledge. It says all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In other words, he is the creator. He didn't create some big bang 14 billion years ago. He created the heaven and the earth, and it's created by him, through him, and for him, according to Colossians. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, that's an interesting concept, isn't it? What does that mean? His light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Yes, Gary. The absence of light. Okay, good. Excellent. All right. So what does it mean that Jesus is the light, but the darkness did not even comprehend him? Say what, Tracy? Well, he was the light, but the people who saw his life, most of them what? Didn't comprehend who he was. You know, the Bible had incredible prophecies about the Messiah. They could have walked into the temple, pulled the genealogies for Joseph and Mary, and what would they have found? Huh? That they both go back to who? To David. And they could have looked at the genealogy of Matthew and said, well, that's Joseph's genealogy. And they could go and look at the genealogy in Luke and say, that's Mary's genealogy. And they both go back to David. And it's a prophecy. The Scripture told where he would be born. The Scripture says how he would die. Again, back on these videos that Lisa and I are watching, one of the testimony of the Jewish people, the strongest verse that, or strongest passage that comes out is what, Lisa? Isaiah 53, with his stripes we are healed. And that one grabs them. You know what they say? Listen to this. This is really interesting. I've heard them say it over and over again. Jesus was Jewish. Now they say, I learned that Jesus was Jewish. They thought he was Catholic, yeah. Catholic Italian, right?
I read one where he said, what's he doing in my Bible?
Yeah, exactly. He did say that. What's he doing in my Bible? And they say, you know, everybody that wrote the New Testament is Jewish? And do you know Jesus lived a Jewish life and he did Jewish things? And they're staggered by that thought. Because why? Darkness has enveloped the Jewish nation for centuries. And they didn't know who they had. In spite of all the evidence. And that is a really frightening thing, people. That's frightening for us as believers, because what that says is you can see and know the truth and shut it out.
Well, that's exactly deny it. What's going on in our world
today. Does seem that way, doesn't it?
No, it is.
Yeah, it does seem. It is. I'll talk about one instance in a minute. Huh?
Can you say
not with a cheerful look. There came a man sent from God, whose name was John, and he came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. Jesus Christ is the true light of God. Now, darkness is our enemy. Proverbs 4 says this, the day of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Leslie and I have had a conversation before. Some people's lives get really messed up. And I'm not going to point out any particular issue in that life, except they just keep being messed up. And yet if you were to talk to them about their life and how messed up it is and what would help them to get out of it, they kind of like the life that they have. Have you ever noticed that? And it would be so simple for them to do the right thing to straighten out their life. But they refuse to do it. It's the same way here. They don't know what makes them stumble. They don't understand what? They're living in darkness. They love the darkness more than the light. Exactly. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. In other words, the analogy of light and darkness is the truth and not the truth. Now, darkness is the word skosia is used for one, physical darkness. It's also used in secrecy in general, whether what is done therein is good or evil, or spiritual or moral darkness, which is where we are today. emblematic of sin as a condition of moral or spiritual depravity. We're living in an age of darkness, as Sylvia said. For example, I am a pro-life person. I believe that the Bible teaches emphatically in Psalm 139 that God wove us together in our mother's wombs before we ever were born. And that to kill an unborn child is murder. Now, I apologize if some of you have had abortions. I've been told don't talk about that in a church. But we need to talk about it because we need to know what the light is. And yet New York just passed a law. Sure he does.
And that's what we need to remember.
Mm-hmm. We need to remember forgiveness, for sure. But the issue about whether it's right or wrong is a different issue. New York just passed a law that it's all right to kill a child up to the time of birth. Huh? That is murder. And they are, we'll see in a verse in a minute, they call good bad, bad good. They're rejoicing in this law being passed. It's a victory for women.
It is not a victory.
Well, I'm just telling you what they report. Yes, Randy. Rhode Island's going to follow. Yeah.
That's just a reflection of the people that they choose to lead their city. It's sad.
Well, that's an astounding thought, Viola.
I suck at that motion.
That's true. They picked the people, right, to lead them.
You know, they made it lawful that in California back 30 years ago, or at least, the first trimester was all that was legal. They were putting these babies in reefers outside the abortion clinic, and the people, they weren't making the payments, so the people who owned the reefers repossessed them, and they found babies who were real late term.
It's a horrible thing, and that is a spiritual or a moral darkness. Now, be careful you're not in the darkness, right? Hopefully you're in this class. It will help a little bit, maybe, to understand the light. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Notice, good eye, bad eye. Therefore, take heed, listen closely, that the light which is in you is not darkness. How is that possible? You have wrong beliefs. And that creates a darkness in you and you don't even know it. It says, having no part dark, but the whole body will be full of light is when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. Do you love the light? I love the truth. I don't know about you. I want to know the truth. I pray to God every time I teach that I might see the truth, that I might truly understand what I'm teaching so that I don't come off and teach you error. I mean, it's terrifying to the thought that I would teach error. And in most cases, if I do, there's always somebody here that corrects me. That's a comforting thought. And this is a condemnation that the light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light. The propensity of the human being is what? To go to the bar joints, the places where it's dark and hide out, right? Because there's no light there or little light there. And they love darkness rather than light because of their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. And does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he does the truth, comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. It does matter how you live your life and what you believe. And it's upon you, by the way. You personally have the responsibility to understand what God has said. And to order your life the way he has said it. Faithful following yields light. Then Jesus spoke to them and said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Notice the condition. He who follows me. This is not a salvation verse. This is a sanctification verse. What do I mean by that? Salvation is so simple, the greatest moron can understand it. Jesus said, you trust me, I'll give you eternal life. But if you really want to live the life in fellowship with God, Jesus says, if you follow me, if you do what I say, if you walk like me, you'll have the light of life. There's another verse coming up that's going to expand on that. If we say, John 1:6, that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we say, now that's a really important statement. Notice John did not say, if you say, or if they say. He said, if we say. In other words, the potential exists, people, for us to be believers in Christ and to say that we have fellowship with him, a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're actually walking in darkness. Do you believe that to be true? Do you think there are people in this church, in the body of Christ, that believe they have a close fellowship with God and yet they are in darkness? In the first class, a lady told us about a friend of hers who said, who's committing adultery. She's married. She's committing adultery with another couple.
A couple?
No, not couple. Another man. The man, woman to man. Sorry. See, I told you, you correct me quickly. It just doesn't take long. Anyway, and the lady has said to her, you know, it's not a sin.
Yes, it is a sin. And there's repercussions.
I'm going to have you talk to her, Viola. All right. She says it's not a sin because I love him. And I don't love my husband. No, I don't know her, Viola. It is. Y'all are tough, man. But so, and is she, and she's a member of this church, and she's walking in light or darkness? You see how clear that is? And there are people all the time who say they have a close relationship with God, but they're not. They're walking in darkness because of the way they live their life and what they believe. Who claims this? Who claims that we say we have fellowship, we walk in darkness? There was actually a group called the Nicolaitans who lived back in John's time. Jesus talked about them in Revelation chapter 2. And we'll look at it in a minute. But this is a group of antinomians. Now, here's your new word. Antinomians means against law. Against law. Antinomians, against law. Yeah, all right. So, these people said this. Look, God is a grace of love and kindness, and he'll forgive anything you do. So just live like you want to. You don't have to obey or pay any attention to any rules or laws. That's what we call a perversion of doctrine, right? But they could say we have this fellowship with God because we are liberated. We are free. In our day, any person who claims it is not important to do the will of God, as expressed in Scripture, makes this claim. In other words, there are people saying, like the woman in the adultery, I'm not doing the will of God because it's love. Look at Nicolaitans. The church at Ephesus is commended for hating the deeds of Nicolaitans. The Nicolaitans came from Nicholas, by the way. And they actually set up a structure of laity and priest, which many believe is the forerunner of the Catholic Church. But I don't know that for sure. And the Church of Pergamos is blamed for having them who hold their doctrines. They were seemingly a class of professing Christians who sought to introduce into the church a false freedom or licentiousness. Paul talked about this in the book of Galatians. Thus abusing Paul's doctrine of grace, and were probably identical with those who held the doctrine of Balaam. The doctrine of Balaam said, we got into a discussion. Apparently, there was a recent program on with Jim and Tammy Faye Baker. Yeah. You remember a 2-hour program? And they claimed to have fellowship with God, and yet they were total reprobates. And he went to prison, if you remember, and so forth. And they said, look how successful we are. look at God's grace on us and how much we have profited from the ministry before it fell. And they perverted God's grace. And he's actually back on TV again. So is Jimmy Swaggart. I like to watch Jimmy once in a while, just for fun. Who else says this? We do, when we try to convince others our lives are spiritual, but we are secretly not living the truth. We are living a lie. Warren Wiersbe says, how do Christians try to cover up their sins? By telling lies. First, we tell lies to others. We want our Christian friends to think we are spiritual, don't we? So we lie about our lives and try to make a favorable impression on them. We want them to think that we are walking in the light, though in reality, we are walking in the darkness. I am a forensic accountant. I am a CPA. I have a CPA firm. And I investigate people who commit fraud. The biggest case I ever had was a $15 million embezzlement over 12 years by six people. They got a combined 85 years in jail, of which 10 was probated, and a $61 million judgment against them. And if I investigate you for fraud, I'm going to look at your Facebook and any other media you're on. I'll go send my private eye out to see you to get your stuff off the internet. And what is amazing to me is that people today can live a life that is totally corrupt and crooked, so to speak. And yet, if you read their Facebook messages, it's all about sending each other little religious sayings and poems and trying to create this image that they're wonderful believers. In fact, I'm going to tell you a secret. I've investigated a lot of frauds, and in most of them, there is this communication between them and other people about how spiritual they are. What are they doing? They're lying and they're walking in darkness. And their fellowship is not with God. How do we deceive ourselves? I have given some thought about this. Let me ask you a general question. Do you think there might be a problem with integrity in America today? How many of you would say, yes, there is a problem? How many of you would say, no, everybody's getting better? Nobody?
They live in New York.
Yeah. So I thought about it. Why do we have a problem with integrity today? And there are several reasons, and it's the way we think today. In other words, you remember, 1 John's trying to tell us what? You think right, you act right, you have fellowship with God and with us. All right? So I said, well, why are we having a problem in America?
And there's no black and white.
That would be number one. Right? We live in an age of relativism, which simply means this. We rationalize everything from the lens of what's best for us at the moment.
Remember that phrase, if it feels good, do it.
Oh, hold on, that's number four. Okay. Trying to steal my lesson, Roger. Anyway. But we live in an age where absolutes are no longer right. For instance, the lady who is living in sin and adultery with another man, another wife's husband, she has rationalized what? It's okay because she loves him. It's the ultimate rationalization. Where we would say what? Hopefully you would say, that's wrong. It's absolute. God says, thou shalt not commit adultery, right? Number two, false idea. Everybody is doing it. Yeah. Yeah. I remember one time I was doing a tax return for a lady, and she said something about having income in currency, cash. And I said, well, we need to report that. And she said, oh, I don't report that, Mr. Chuck. That's currency. Nobody reports that. Everybody leaves that off. And I said, I don't think so. She wasn't a client after that. False methodology. I love this one. The ends justifies the means. So if you're a great rationalization person and you really want something, what do? Anything, you can get it. My best illustration is Dirty Harry. You remember Dirty Harry? You remember he had the guy on the end of the pier and had the big Magnum 40, was Magnum 44? Pointed at him and it said, you feeling lucky, punk? Remember that? And he was an evil guy, remember? He'd make my day. And everybody was crying out what? No, Roger. Everybody was saying, handcuff him, arrest him, and read him his rights, and give him a fair trial. No. Now, I want you to think about this, because this is pumped into you and your children every day. All of the heroes in the movies, the Sylvester Stallones, the Schwarzeneggers, the Bruce Willises, Claude Van Damme, James Bond, all of them do the same thing. They never submit to authority, obey the rules, or follow the procedures to achieve a result, do they? And what message is that sending out? It's okay to do whatever you want to do as long as what? You get what you want at the end. You see that? So if you're a rationalization person and you are ends justify as a mean person, you know, in reality, what God has shown me over the years is it's the process, not the result, that's important. It's the way we do things that matters to God. He has the result in His hand. And I'd much rather rely on Him for the result. So forth. Which brings up another one that I didn't put up here that I just thought of. And that is, we want everything when?
Now.
Now. We're not willing to wait. You mean I have 45 minutes before you bring my pizza? I want it now. I'm hungry. And so just imagine what society is like when everybody rationalizes everything to their own benefit, relativism. They want it now, and they'll do anything to get it. Now you understand maybe why there's an integrity problem. Bad philosophy, Roger. If it feels good, do it, huh?
I think it's a sliding scale.
Okay.
And I will say this. I know you don't want to bring politics in. I'm a huge Trump supporter, okay? But he is a scoundrel.
Well, you probably don't want to, but anyway. So you're saying it's the lesser two evils. Okay, I got it. Yeah, I don't like to be political because I know we have different persuasions in here. All right, let me repeat that, Viol. There is wicked and evil, and I agree with both. Just to shoot him. I didn't know I was going to stir y'all up this much. Let me say, I try to stay away from politics because I know different people believe different ways, but I do agree with Viola. I haven't seen any real Christian concepts being promoted on television lately.
Look what they're doing. They want to kill babies when they're at full term. That is murder.
Yeah.
It is pure wickedness.
Pretty evil. Lisa? No, she's talking about George Bush Sr. when he died and the recounting of his life. You know,
Right.
That's kind of our values in our society, by the way, which is why we're supposed to be so unique and different. And John, I don't disagree with what you said. I just stay away from politics. Okay.
And yes, he's still not making all good decisions. There's some stupid things he's doing. But at the same time, being a baby in Christ, I have to give a little bit of leeway for the learning process,
okay,
as we all have had, because we are all sinners, as Brother John said this morning. And there is a growth process that must go on, and I do believe that there are many things.
Mm-hmm. All right. Y'all are not doing a good job of staying out. Okay. All right. False belief. God is not really all that interested in your life, in the details of your life. Have you ever heard that before? You can do whatever you want because God really doesn't care about what's going on in your life. Number six, they did it to me. They hear that all the time. People tax cheats, right? They've been using my money wrongly, so I'm going to use their money. And then finally, the devil made me do that. Flip Wilson. Your walk determines.
Can I add something to that?
Okay. You can do it as long as you
tag up
before.
That means you just got to go to your priest or your minister and say, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay. You're forgiven.
Oh, okay. All right. So well, that is a big thing, Robert. There are people who believe, you know, mobsters go to mass every day, right? Confess their sins because they may not be alive at the end of the day. All right. I guess I'm going to have to expand my list. It's all right as long as I'm not hurting anybody else. I thought mine were pretty good. Four times John says, if we say that, he says that. Four times he's going to say, if we say, it is clear that our Christian life is to amount to more than mere talk. We must also walk or live what we believe. By the way, walk in the Bible means to order your behavior according to what God has said. If we're in fellowship with God, if we're walking in the light, our lives will back up what our lips are saying. But if we're living in sin, walking in darkness, then our lives will contradict what our lips are saying, making us hypocrites. Here's your verse. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And by the way, people, that verse right there encounters a lot of issues we're confronting in America. Sodomy, abortion, transgenderism, you just take an issue and so forth, and people are calling the things that are evil good and good evil, making a huge difference in our society. Truth, we cannot be in fellowship with God unless you order your life consistent with the truth in Him. He is light. And then he says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, that's an interesting statement. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, which means what? Walking, ordering our lives consistent with what Jesus has shown us to live. Constable says this, two things are equally true of believers who walk in the light according to this verse. We enjoy fellowship with God, and we are experiencing cleansing from every sin. This is a quote from him. This every sin refers to man's sinful nature in general, although it may include the wrongful acts which can occur even when a Christian is living in the light. In other words, understand this. This is not a salvation verse. When it says if we're walking in the light, it's going to cleanse us from all sin. Do you believe that you can be walking in the light and still sin? All of sin. thought is not of the forgiveness of sin only, but of the removal of the sin. The sin is done away, and the purifying action is exerted continuously. Ryrie says, to walk in the light is to live in obedience to God's commandments. Two things result from walking in the light: fellowship with other believers and continual cleansing from sin. Since walking in the light brings us to light other sins that need cleansing. Jesus taught exactly this. Listen closely. Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." In other words, Peter was all in on everything, right? Jesus said to him, and listen closely, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean." In other words, he's trying to teach the disciples that they are clean, they're saved, they're redeemed. But going through life, walking through life, you get what? Dirty feet. And you need to wash those feet. And so he says, and you are clean, but not all of you. Speaking of Judas. All right? The truth. Sometimes we really don't understand the depth of our sin or our need for cleansing. Walking in the truth reveals it. Now, what do I mean by that? When the scripture says we walk in the truth as he is in the truth, in the light, that he will cleanse our sin as we go. We as human beings cannot see ourselves as God sees us. I'm sure it's going to be a shock when we get there and we go before the bema seat of Christ and he tells us what we are, what we've done, and things that we've never understood. But I believe the promise John is making to us is this. If we are ordering our lives and walking our lives and believing in our lives that Jesus is the light and we're following him, God will demonstrate and cleanse that sin and show us to it so we can get rid of it.
There are two ways he does this. One, by reading the Word of God. The other is being around other Christians.
It helps to be around other Christians and reading the Word. Absolutely.
But there needs to be a distinction. What you are and what you think people think you are don't always mesh. I've had people lie about me. I didn't even recognize myself.
Right.
And I know others that. Jonathan Edwards was lied about, lost his pulpit, refused to defend himself, and only later the guy made it right, and he was restored.
Right. Yeah, and only God can cleanse us from what's wrong with us that needs to be thrown out, get rid of. And he'll cleanse us from that if we're walking in the light. There's no disadvantage of walking in the light. God is going, yes, Jim, final question.
Mm-hmm. But if we had a big C on our head and when we're doing good in Christ's way, it would be lit up with a clear light. If we sinned, it would go red.
You could put a nose on you, go red whenever you sin, yeah. Well, God is light. God is pure. And I believe that God wants to take sin in our lives and work, get rid of it. He died for it. And that's a process of growth. So we'll see you next week. Don't be so lively next time.